From the second epistle of Blessed Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you find it easy to be patient with the vanity of others, you who are so full of good sense. While you let other people tyrannize over you, prey upon you, take advantage of you, vaunt their power over you, browbeat you. I say this without taking credit to myself. I say it as if we had no power to play such a part. Yet in fact, here my vanity speaks, I can claim all that others claim. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descended from Abraham? So am I. Are they Christ's servants? These are wild words. I am something more. I've toiled harder, spent longer days in prison, been beaten so cruelly, so often looked death in the face. 5 times the Jews scourged me, and spared me but one lash in the 40. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've spent a night and a day as a castaway at sea. What journeys I've undertaken in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, in danger from the Gentiles, danger in cities, danger in the wilderness, danger in the sea, danger among false brethren. I've met with toil and weariness so often, been sleepless, hungry, and thirsty, so often denied myself food, gone cold and naked, and all this over and above something else which I do not count. I mean the burden I carry every day, my anxious care for all the churches. Does anyone feel a scruple? I share it. Is anyone's conscience hurt? I'm ablaze with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast of the things which humiliate me. The God who is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be his name forever, knows that I am telling the truth. When I was at Damascus, the agent of King Aretas was keeping guard over the city of Damascus, intent on seizing me. And to escape from his hands, I had to be let down through a window along the wall in a hamper. If we are to boast, although boasting is out of place, I will go on to the visions and revelations the Lord has granted me. There is a man I know who was carried out of himself in Christ 14 years since. Was his spirit in his body? I cannot tell. Was it apart from his body? I cannot tell. God knows. This man, at least, was carried up into the third heaven. I can only tell you that this man, with his spirit in his body, or with his spirit apart from his body, God knows which, not I. was carried up into paradise and heard mysteries which man is not allowed to utter. This is the man about whom I will boast. I will not boast about myself except to tell you of my humiliations. It would not be vanity if I had a mind to boast about such a man as that. I should only be telling the truth, but I will spare you the telling of it. I have no mind that anybody should think of me except as he sees me, as he hears me talking to him. And indeed, for fear that these surpassing revelations should make me proud, I was given a sting to distress my outward nature, an angel of Satan sent to rebuff me. 3 times it made me entreat the Lord to rid me of it, but he told me, my grace is enough for you. My strength finds its full scope in your weakness. More than ever then, I delight to boast of the weaknesses that humiliate me so that the strength of Christ may enshrine itself in me. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, when a great multitude had gathered and more came flocking to Jesus out of the cities, he spoke to them in parables. Here is the sower gone out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, there were some grains that fell beside the path, so that they were trodden underfoot. And the birds flew down and ate them. And others fell upon the rocks, where they withered as soon as they were up, because they had no moisture. And some fell among briars, and the briars grew up with them and smothered them. But others fell where the soil was good, and when these grew up, they yielded 100-fold. So saying, he cried aloud, "Listen, you that have ears to hear with." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he told them, "It is granted to you to understand the secret of God's kingdom. The rest must learn of it by parables, so that they can watch without seeing and listen without understanding." The parable means this: the seed is God's word. Those by the wayside hear the word, and then the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts so that they cannot find faith and be saved. Those on the rock are those who entertain the word with joy as soon as they hear it, and yet have no roots. They last for a while, but in time of temptation they fall away. And the grain that fell among the briars stands for those who hear it, and then going on their way, are stifled by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life, and never reach maturity. And the grain that fell in good soil stands for those who hear the word and hold by it with a noble and generous heart and endure and yield a harvest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Certainly Pope St. Gregory the Great, who selected the readings for these particular Sundays, gave us much to consider, which could not be covered in any short time. It's obvious, since the stational church for this Mass is St. Paul's, that there would be such an emphasis on St. Paul and the whole life of Paul that is, in a sense, summarized by St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. And we see the reality of profound hardship, and yet Paul does in no way, shape, or form boast or brag about himself, only Christ Jesus. And he lists these things in a, as he would call it, a kind of vanity, or in some translations, a foolishness, indicating that it is his own weakness by virtue of his human nature that it is so disposed to grace that God's strength comes through it. So when he boasts, one might think he were bragging, but in all reality, he is indicating that this is the reality of the life that a Catholic is supposed to be leading, one of hardship. How often people whine and complain if a traffic light lasts too long today, and we see the reality of what Paul says is to be the normal expectation of the Catholic life. And if we're living for Christ, then there's no surprise at this. If we're living for Christ, then we have a complete understanding of the necessity of being detached from the world, and then such inconveniences, challenges are welcomed by us simply because they detach us from the world and attach us to the Christ who is the only source of grace. So Paul's disposition is towards grace, and even when he acknowledges the ailment that he has, moderns always want to say that Paul is struggling with some kind of sin. But if one knows his scripture, one knows that Paul is using language that can see that you can see in the book of Numbers that indicates it's some kind of physical ailment. Some speculate it may have been people who make his life difficult, which could be true, but ultimately when you look at Numbers, you see that he is speaking about a physical ailment. So on top of all this, he was given some kind of physical ailment that caused him even more difficulty. Three times he prayed for this to be taken away. Three times the Lord responded that his grace was enough for Paul. And therefore, Paul continues to live disposed to grace, yes, acknowledging his frailty, acknowledging his fault, asking our Lord for that angel of Satan to be removed, but our Lord does not wish that to occur. So Paul lives life as Christ has called him to. And remember, he's writing the Corinthians because they keep getting poorly influenced by the Judaizers, and they're beginning to question all the dynamics Paul had given them. So Paul, who is assuming they had good sense, can't fathom why they allow those Judaizers to tyrannize them, to tell them that you're not going to heaven unless you do this, you're not going to heaven unless you do that, which is contrary to what Paul had taught. And Paul was very confident, remember, saying that even if an angel comes down from heaven and teaches you something that's contrary to what he has taught, that angel is excommunicated. The reality that one has to go by the overall tradition of the church and her teaching and not newfangled ideas. If one is disposed towards grace, then one receives that which God gives with a profound interest, hence our Lord's parable of the sower. The fact that the good ground represents the Catholic who genuinely wants to live the Catholic life means that he is always disposed to whatever is said, no matter how poorly preached or how expertly preached the word is. The faithful Catholic always derives something from it because he's actually interested. He's not looking at the lights or looking and counting the holes in the ceiling. not looking at the different realities of the church. He is actually paying attention to the word as it is being preached, not getting up and down and going to and fro the bathroom as though the church were the time to go to the bathroom. But reality, he puts everything aside and even is willing to suffer a bit so that he can know what the Lord is teaching him, know what the Lord is offering. In other words, God's grace is sufficient for him, and therefore he disposes himself with attentiveness because he can derive strength to be attentive from the grace of God. Therefore, when we hear our Lord explain it, it's quite self-evident. Think of the route of the wayside is the Catholic who lives in pride, who is judging the priest, who is judging the people around him, and who is only there to ultimately find some reason to either complain or to express his pride. He is the one that is not interested, and therefore Satan's influence is profound, so whatever grains, whatever seeds are sent out to the prideful Catholic, he doesn't get it because the devil takes it away. And not because the devil has complete power over that prideful Catholic, but that prideful Catholic has given the devil power over him by living so proudly. This was a benchmark of the Judaizers, and this is why Paul was underscoring the necessity of humility, especially amongst the Catholic laity, which is sorely lacking in the church today. And consider the reality of the other dispositions. They all indicate one that is caught up in the things of the world, one that has a zeal for everything first, but then gives up, choked off by living a superficial life. The liberal Catholic is the prime example. His understanding of the faith is so limited that at first sign of trouble, first sign where we are told that you must live a moral life, they panic and walk away from it, or they try to reinvent the faith that says you can dialogue with sin, you can become agreeable to sin, and Jesus doesn't mind if you sin. The roots are gone very quickly, even though the enthusiasm may have been there. One is living a Catholic illusion. One is living a false faith, not a true one. And the Lord warns about the importance in his parable of not being so attached to the world that worldly cares and concerns become more important than the things of faith. So as we prepare to embark on the Lenten season, the opportunity for us is to consider, how are we disposed to grace? Are we seeking out every opportunity to receive grace, or do our lives reflect more those who are so engrossed in the things of the world that anything that is Catholic, anything that is faithful, is always secondary to the worldly responsibilities, the worldly obligations? In theory, one can live this life and have no difficulty, but the reality is one will have profound difficulty if they live this life because they become so accustomed to not receiving grace, to not seeking grace, that it becomes no longer necessary. And in a short time, the reality is the devil will have pulled the wool over their eyes and they'll begin to think they do not need grace and that God only cares if they make their worldly responsibilities, never disposing themselves to right worship and right belief, and never disposing themselves, as St. Paul, to grace every time difficulty comes along. But of course, the devil always makes life easy for those who follow him. The devil makes life difficult for those who are against him. That's one of the ways you can tell if you're truly following Christ. You have difficulties. If you're following the devil, you usually don't. Life is pretty even keel and perfect without any kind of effort being made. How are we disposed to grace? We prayed at the collect that the doctor of the Gentiles would indeed assist us. And indeed, we should be mindful of his words and look at our own lives. And would we be willing to live the hardship that Paul lived for the sake of the gospel? The fact of the matter is, we can and we will, but only if we're disposed to grace instead of being so overly disposed to the things of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.